Today on the Wisdom Journey, Stephen begins our time in the book of Psalms. Psalm 1 gives us a key to the stable, fruitful, satisfying life of serving the Lord. Simply put, we must reject the words and the ways of those who reject righteous living. Instead, we must give ourselves to the Word of God, drawing upon it constantly for its life-giving and life-changing instruction. This lesson from Psalm 1 is called An Original Book of Poetry.
Has it ever occurred to you that God is the original poet? In fact, He created us as a work of divine art. The Apostle Paul says to the Ephesians in chapter 2 and verse 10 that we were created as God's workmanship. That word in the Greek language is poema, which gives us our word poem. You happen to be an original poem written by your Creator God. Now, God evidently loves creating original poetry because no one else in human history is just like you. No one else has your fingerprints, your voice print, even your eyes and your face can be used today to identify you because you are one of a kind. God has also created you in His image. One of the evidences of that is that we happen to love poetry as well, whether it's in musical form or in written form in a book of poetry. It shouldn't be any surprise, beloved, that in the middle of your Bible happens to be a book of poetry, a book of sacred hymns, poetry that expresses, the way you and I feel to the very deepest levels of our soul. Now, it took more than 1,000 years for various people to collect and arrange all the psalms contained in the book of Psalms. We have 150 psalms in this hymn book. They're actually divided into 5 sections. They're called books. The psalms are expressive. They're emotional. They're passionate. They're relational. They teach us how to cry out to God and even complain sometimes a bit. We learn from this book how to pour out our doubts and our sorrows and our joys and our victories to God. The Psalms have a way of changing your attitude toward God rather than expecting God to change your circumstances. In fact, this book of inspired poetry is intended by God to become for us a personal advisor and a counselor as you walk through every single intersection in life. Now, for today, the very first psalm compares the way of the righteous with the way of the wicked. Now, here in verse 1, the author begins by simply saying, "Blessed is the man." Now, that word blessed refers to happiness. This is a reference to deep happiness that comes from moving in the right direction in life. The happy person in Psalm 1 is someone who's advancing in his or her commitment to godly living. You'll notice that advancing involves refusing certain things. In other words, you're going to refuse anything associated with ungodly living. And the psalmist now describes 3 different kinds of refusals here. Now, verse 1 goes on to say, "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked." This pictures an ungodly person sort of merging onto your path and wanting to walk closely next to you. He wants to influence you by joining up with you. Well, you need to refuse that kind of close companionship. "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked." Now notice, "nor stands in the way of sinners." Now to stand means you've stopped. You're taking your place alongside. It's not just walking alongside unbelievers, but you're taking your stand with them. That means you're approving of their lifestyles. You're joining them, in fact, in their way of thinking. Well, now the digression continues to be described here in the form of this third refusal. Verse 1 goes on to say, nor sits in the seat of scoffers. The Hebrew word for scoffer here refers to someone who openly mocks the counsel of God. So, I mean, what starts out with a rather casual walk? Well, now it becomes a seat at the table. What the psalmist calls a seat here, we actually would refer to as a chair. He pulls up a chair. In fact, today we talk about a school having an endowed chair of engineering or a chair of theology. That influential position on a board is held by the chairperson. Well, this boardroom here is entirely cynical. It's opposed to biblical truth. And the psalmist's warning is this. Listen, if you don't ignore the wicked, you'll eventually take a stand with them. And soon after, you're going to join the board. And let me tell you, this boardroom is filled with people who openly scoff at God. Now, having told us here in Psalm 1 what a godly person needs to say no to, the psalmist now tells us what a godly person should say yes to. Verse 2 says here, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. You know, if you delight in somebody, you want to spend time with them. Well, the blessed person delights, that is, prioritizes the law of the Lord. Now, throughout the Psalms, the law can be a reference to the Torah. That's the first five books of the Bible. The law can be an expression referring to the Lord's mind or his will. So what that means here is that the psalmist is referring to the totality of God's word. The godly person then, the blessed person, is a person who is loving the word of God. The second practice of a blessed person is found in the word meditate. Here in verse 2, it says that in God's law, he meditates day and night. Now, the Hebrew word for meditate literally means to mutter, that is, to mumble, to utter sounds as if you're sort of mumbling to yourself. This pictures your mind. Your mind is so engaged with God's word that it just sort of spills out of your mouth. Your conversation then is laced with, it's embroidered with Scripture. You're muttering the word of God throughout your day. So meditation in the Bible, by the way, is not emptying your mind. It's filling your mind with the word of God so that it's just sort of mumbling out of your mouth all day long. Now, the psalmist uses the image of a tree to give us some characteristics of a godly person's life. First, the godly person is stable. Verse 3 says here, he is like a tree planted by streams of water. Now, this tree here is firmly rooted, and it's healthy. It's healthy because it's drawing from the water nearby, so it's growing strong and stable. Now, no tree grows up overnight. You don't go out every morning and measure it to see if it's grown. Well, let me encourage you, beloved, likewise here, the Christian life takes exactly that same thing, a lifetime to build. Don't go out and measure your growth spiritually every day unless you want to become very discouraged. Secondly, the godly person we're told here is fruitful. Verse 3 says that he's like a tree that yields fruit in its season. Well, he's referring here to the fruit of the Spirit. This is spiritual fruit. And I don't want you to miss the fact that this particular fruit here, as with any tree, is not for that tree. It's for everyone who comes in contact with that tree. Now, third, verse 3 says, the godly one will be like a tree whose leaf does not wither. Well, he's an evergreen then, evidently. Tough times don't dry him out. That means dry seasons. That means winter seasons don't destroy his spiritual health. He's going to continue to prosper spiritually. He's going to continue to bear the fruit of the Spirit, even in difficult times. Now, again, we're given the contrasting life of the wicked. Verse 4 says, the wicked are not so, but are like chaff that the wind drives away. They might seem powerful. They might seem in control now, but verse 5 reminds us, they will not stand in the judgment. In other words, there's a day coming when divine truth and the piercing wisdom of God is going to dismantle whatever arguments they had as they defied God. So the godly person, well, he's like a tree. He's rooted in truth. The unbeliever is not rooted. Unbelievers are tossed about by the winds of culture like chaff in a windstorm. They know nothing of stability and fruitfulness or even endurance. Simply put, their lives never take root. You see, this is why we must go back to the Bible again and again and drink here. If we're planted, if we're rooted next to the stream of God's truth, well, the results are stability, fruitfulness, and endurance. Whether it's your marriage, your relationships, your work ethic, your walk with God, you're going to become like the strong branches of a tree planted by the stream of God's inspired truth. So let's drink this up. Let's drink it in, and then let's live it out every single day. And let's start today. Well, until our next wisdom journey, beloved, may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.
With this lesson, we begin our time in Psalms. Psalms is a long book, and we'll be in this book for a while. This lesson is called An Original Book of Poetry. We have a gift for you today. Stephen has an important resource to teach that life begins in the womb and is precious to God. It's called Designer Made. Visit wisdomonline.org/designer to request your copy. Then join us again next time.